I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
And a pleasant good afternoon to you wherever you may be, however you may be listening. This is indeed the Shukri Wright Show. Surprise edition, fill-in edition, whatever you want to call it. Filling in today for Sess and Nuts this afternoon here until 5 o'clock right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for making this show part of your Wednesday afternoon to you. Here on March 23rd, 2022. It's hard to believe that we are rapidly approaching towards the end of the month. And there have been a lot going on today, both in the NFL as well as, I mean, across Major League Baseball, you have the spring training games that are ongoing right now. But I want to get to some NFL talk a little later on in the show, but I want to start the show talking about the Boston Bruins. Because I figured that it'd be most appropriate, after all. But before I even get started, here's the number to call into the program if you want to talk Bruins or anything else to talk about on this program. 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. So I was getting ready to do the show today, and I was doing some prep work, you know, researching topics. And as I'm searching through the channels this morning, one of the things that really popped out to me, and they were talking about it on a different radio station, in which I figured that I really spent a lot more time talking about on this program, and that is if the Boston Bruins, most particularly Jeremy Swayman, if he goes on a prolonged stretch or a deep run in the Stanley Cup playoffs, does this in fact tarnish Tuukka Rask's career or his legacy? And I find that to be such a fascinating question and topic because, number one, Tuukka Rask, as you and I know, for the last, 13, 14 years, has been a polarizing topic of discussion for Bruin fans and hockey fans everywhere. Not one particular athlete in this city has been talked about, criticized, and treated so roughly as much as Tuukka Rask has been. Now that Tuukka Rask is retired, and you have the critics of Tuukka Rask, albeit fair or unfair, that'll say he never won the big one, and you have those who are the president of Tuukka Rask fan club, and that'll say he was an amazing goalie, I appreciate everything that he did for the team, and so forth. That's all nice and dandy. But let's get to the heart of the matter here. At the beginning of the season, Jeremy Swayman expected that he was going to be the guy, that he was going to be the number one guy. We all know how disappointed he was when he was sent back down to Providence. That we know. We all know how much of the news that Tuukka Rask was going to be coming back to the Boston Bruins affected his play. We all know how much Jeremy Swayman believed in himself that he is the guy moving forward that's going to be the number one netminder for the Boston Bruins. But this particular topic I find to be most particularly striking because this is the first postseason, I would say maybe since 2009, in which Tuukka Rask will not be on the Bruins roster in any shape and form. And I think now is the time that we begin to look ahead to the Stanley Cup playoffs in which this is going to be the first one in which that Jeremy Swayman is the guy. We all remember that Jeremy Swayman was the backup last year to Tuukka Rask, in which Tuukka Rask was not healthy down the stretch. But this year, he is the guy. He is the man in net, in which that it is abundantly clear when Tuukka Rask announced his retirement back in January that the team, most notably Bruce Cassidy, said, I need more from my number one guy. He made it abundantly clear. He has gotten a lot more from Jeremy Swayman and then some since that public call out back in January. If you got any thoughts on the topic of discussion, feel free to call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. But there is something that I want to specifically really hone in on as to why I find this particular topic truly fascinating and what will be a very fascinating spring, hopefully early summer, for the Boston Bruins. Has anybody come to the realization that Jeremy Swayman could maybe go on a deep run for the Boston Bruins, considering how well the Bruins have been playing? And now with the acquisition of Hampus Lindholm, the defenseman formerly of the Anaheim Ducks, the expectation is there. It is there for this team now. Even though they didn't get help for the top line at the right wing spot where currently disgruntled Jake DeBrusque is playing, this is still a dangerous team going into the playoffs. Jeremy Swayman could be a major reason why this team goes on a prolonged run. Of course, it helps to have a beefed up top four of your blue line, your top four defensemen. Obviously, with McAvoy, now Hampus Lindholm, Brandon Carlo, and Matt Grizzlick. If Jeremy Swayman is able to go deep into the playoffs, heck, let's say best case scenario, he gets to the Eastern Conference Finals. And Swayman plays his arse off. How will it impact Tuukka Rask's legacy? I think it will. Here's why. Tuukka Rask, as much as we give him credit for 2019, for the fact that the Bruins don't get to the Stanley Cup Finals in 2019 without Tuukka Rask, he has had too many moments in times in which that he simply did not show up when it mattered the most. He did not show up when the team needed the goaltender to steal a game. Where was Tuukka Rask? Nowhere to be found. He was found on the ice, but did his performances truly inspire others and hell, even the fan base to believe that, you know what, maybe this guy could possibly steal a series for us? More often times than not, the answer was no. Which is why, if you really wait, because again, a lot can happen between now and the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs, but especially once the Stanley Cup playoffs begin, things can change. Things become an absolute difference maker and an absolute beast in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Once the playoffs begin, throw out everything else out the window. We'll find out what Swayman is truly made of then. But right now, the Bruins have 18 games remaining in the regular season. And at this point, how much are you looking forward to seeing Jeremy Swayman in terms of his performance, and if his performance will in fact impact Tuukka Rask moving on down the line in terms of how he's perceived? Because the honest answer is, I think it will. Because we already see in Swayman that he is that guy who's got the absolute balls, who has the balls to say, you know what, this is my net, I want this, give it to me. Where Tuukka Rask, more times than not, you did not get that. And that was the criticism of Tuukka Rask, more times than not. Yes or no? So, when you begin to break it down, and you begin to really just take a step back and just think about everything for a moment here. Think of Swayman as the guy in which he is the young buck. He's filling in the shoes of a legend. And this guy is going to have the opportunity to prove something to everyone for the very first time this spring. Last year did not count because he came in, let's be honest, on an emergency role in which he was put in a no-win situation up against the New York Islanders last spring in round two. But now, with the Boston Bruins and with Swayman being the number one guy, there's no question in my mind that Swayman, I don't think the pressure is on Swayman, but I think if he goes on a prolonged run, there's no question there's going to be a sector of Bruin fans that's going to look at him and say, where was this from Tuukka? Where was that want, that desire, that push, that fire to want to steal a game? Hell, even steal a series. I believe that if Swayman goes in a prolonged run, let's say he gets to the Eastern Conference Finals as an example. Man, I believe the conversation surrounding Tuukka Rask is going to change a bit. Not so much in terms of what he accomplished, but what he failed to do. Because let's be completely honest, do we really expect the Boston Bruins to win the Stanley Cup this year? No. If the Bruins get to the Eastern Conference Finals, I say if, would it be a total surprise? To an extent, yes, it would be a bit of a surprise because you got Florida, you got Tampa Bay, the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion, who, by the way, the Bruins will be facing tomorrow night at the Garden. And you also got the Florida Panthers. All three teams, you could say, they have a better chance of getting to the Cup Finals than the Bruins do right now. So, if the Bruins go on a deep run with Swayman, considering all of those things, Tuukka Rask was not able to deliver when it mattered most with all of the expectations heaped upon him versus Jeremy Swayman, who's made it abundantly clear that he is the number one goaltender in Boston. It kind of makes me look at Tuukka Rask rather even more differently. I don't hate Tuukka Rask. I'm just making it abundantly clear. But you got to give criticism where it is deserved and where it's warranted. But if we're going to tell the truth about Jeremy Swayman versus Tuukka Rask and as to why, at the core, if Swayman goes on a prolonged run for the Boston Bruins come the playoffs, why that would change the conversation in terms of Tuukka Rask and why it would alter the perception at the very core, the reason is because Jeremy Swayman has shown that he has that ability to carry a team with his goaltending. He has done that more times than not, and that was not always the case with Tuukka Rask. It wasn't. So, with Jeremy Swayman, what I'm going to be most curious to see, especially as we march on towards April, and where the Bruins are going to be playing every other night, how does Jeremy Swayman handle that kind of pressure in terms of playing almost every other night and switching in that between himself and Linus Ullmark? I think it's going to be something that's going to be really fascinating to keep an eye on for, especially when we get to the playoffs. Because right now, you don't know what's going to happen until you get to the playoffs. And I've said this for years on this program, since the program began in 2019. The Stanley Cup playoffs is a different animal altogether. You can't compare what a goaltender does in the regular season versus what they'll do come the Stanley Cup playoffs. You're not going to win that battle. It's just a different beast. So the real litmus test is going to be, how does Swayman handle the Stanley Cup playoffs? If he goes deep, whew, man, listen. You're going to feel happy for the guy, but you're also going to begin to raise eyebrows and look at Tuukka Rask like, hey, When you were healthy, where was this? There was only two instances in which that the goaltending of Tuukka Rask carried the Bruins deep into the playoffs, to the Stanley Cup Finals. That was 2013 and 2019. But Jeremy Swayman has an opportunity to prove not only that why he is the number one goaltender, but also why this guy could be the difference maker for a team trying to win the Stanley Cup one more time in the Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand era. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the program. We are going to take a music break. Coming up next, at what point are you going to be concerned about the New England Patriots offseason? And with the news of today, it doesn't quarrel the concerns that I have for the Patriots moving forward. I'm going to tell you exactly what's happened and what's going on and why am I concerned. Coming up next on the other side of this music break, this is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Touch Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org.
Dr. Lester Grinspoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Back in 1966, concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxicity. In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug. There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use. Marijuana is one of the most studied substances. I believe that it is high time that this country reconsider its stance on cannabis.
Them legalize marijuana.
I can't believe you found them.
He seems sorry.
Vicky, how you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
I'm a scat man.
Everybody stutters one way or the
the other, so check out my message to you. As a matter of fact, I don't let nothing hold you back. If the scat man can do it, so can you. Everybody's saying that the scat man stutters, but does and never stutter when he sings. But what you don't know, I'm gonna tell you right now that the stutter and the scat is the same thing. Yo, I'm the scat man. Where's the scat man? I'm the scat man. Why should we be pleasing any politician? Reasons would try to cheat their seasons if they could. The state of the condition insults my intuition, and it only makes me crazy and hard like wood. Everybody stutters one way or the other, so check out my message to you. As a matter of fact, don't let nothing hold you back. If the scat man can do it, brother, so can you. I'm the scat man. Everybody stutters one way or the other, so check out my message to you. As a matter of fact, I don't let nothing hold you back. If the scat man can do it, so can you. I hear you all ask about the meaning of scat. Well, I'm the professor, and all I can tell you is while you're still sleeping, the saints are still weeping, because things you call dead haven't yet had the chance to be born. I'm the scat man. Where's the scat man? I'm a scat man. Repeat after me. It's a scooby dooby melody. I'm the scat man. Sing along with me. It's a scooby dooby melody.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I have a PSA donate drive to do a live read for you during this hour. So here is a two-parter. The first part is as follows. If you love keeping the station freeform and supporting community radio, please consider donating to our 2022 donations drive. If you would like to pay online, go to give.tufts.edu. Under designation, select Arts, Science, and Engineering, then Other, and then put WMFO, or you can write us a check. To check out our prize tiers and mailing address, go to WMFO.org and click the Donations Drive tab. Thanks for helping us keeping it freeform. Part 2. If you like what we are doing here at 91.5 WMFO, consider donating. Go to WMFO.org and click our Donations Drive tab to see how you can help us keep it freeform. That is Donations Drive PSA. Donate now. Reading for the hour here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Farm Radio. Glad you're able to tune in wherever you are in the Boston area or even across the country for those who tune in on different parts of the country and call into the program. In fact, speaking of which, you can call into the show at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. The Patriots. Man, I feel like every time there is some sort of breaking news in the NFL, I wonder how it directly ties into what the Patriots are doing or not doing. And every single time, almost it seems, it has a direct impact on the New England Patriots. Now, before I went into break, I left everyone with a tease, you know, wondering, like, why exactly am I concerned on what the Patriots are or aren't doing this offseason, or the lack of activity? Now, the first piece of news that broke was Malcolm Butler, the Super Bowl 49 hero and the cornerback who was wrongfully benched in Super Bowl 52 against the Philadelphia Eagles, is returning back to the New England Patriots on a 2-year deal that's worth up to $9 million. That's very nice. Very nice, very pleasant. However, I'll be the first to tell you, I didn't see that coming. I don't hate the move. Welcome back. But from a pure football perspective, I look at it as, considering how the tenure ended at Super Bowl 52, I'm just genuinely shocked that Bill Belichick said, hey, you know, we're going to bring this guy back. I'm like, really? Oh, that's strange, because at the end of his first tenure, before he signed his free agent deal with the Tennessee Titans, you thought that he would not be able to help the New England Patriots defensively in Super Bowl 52, especially in the air against Nick Foles. Now, with the departure of J.C. Jackson to the Los Angeles Chargers, and before that, losing Stephon Gilmore, you're deciding to bring back Malcolm Butler. Strange, isn't it? But this is the reason why I am really concerned, borderline frustrated with the New England Patriots, with the way that the offseason has gone so far. Because, number one, I have been very consistent on the show talking about the Patriots need a number one receiver. They need a number one receiver like a cow needs to carry milk in order to be useful. And if we're going to be completely honest, none of these moves or transactions jumps out at me and saying, well, the Patriots are working hard towards addressing their need, whether it be on the offensive line or even in a passing game. Sure, the Patriots re-signed James White, but let's be completely honest. How much of a guarantee is James White going to be able to return to pre-hip injury form? Because hip injuries are absolutely no joke. They're nothing to play with at all. In fact, that was the injury that ended his season against the New York Jets at MetLife Stadium. So the signing of James White was really a big gamble and a big risk, because the reality is we just don't know where James White is in his recovery. And then also, with the Patriots bringing back Ty Montgomery, I'm not a fan. I'm truly not a fan of it. And the reason is because, yes, he's versatile, but how does he help Mac Jones, who's going to be entering year two of his development? And you look at teams like the Miami Dolphins, and with the big news today that the Dolphins have traded for Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill, this again proves to me that the Patriots are not hell-bent on bringing in a legitimate number one receiver, something that Mac Jones absolutely needs desperately in order to develop in year number two. And that's where my problem comes in. You're willing to develop around the other young quarterbacks, the other teams in the AFC, Josh Allen, even Tua Tagovailoa, for Pete's sake. You're going out to add a legitimate speed burner on the ground, and you can throw him the ball down the field, given as long as he doesn't underthrow the pass, that is Tua Tagovailoa. But you have a number one receiver in Tyreek Hill. And the Patriots right now, who's your number one option? Your number one option is Kendrick Bourne. And that's a problem. It's not to say that Kendrick Bourne is a complete scrub, because he's not a complete scrub. In fact, he was arguably the Patriots' best receiver last season, if we're being honest. But that's not good enough. Not good enough. And it's got to be concerning to me that every time I voice my concern on social media, you have the section of Patriot fans that are saying, "And Bill, we trust. We're trusting Bill. He knows what he's doing. Trust him." Like, I'm just so tired of every time that there's a legitimate concern or I voice my frustration, I am met with these type of individuals who think that Bill Belichick is completely beyond criticism. Why? Because he's won 6 Super Bowl titles? Congratulations. All of them were with Brady, who was the ultimate masquerade of whatever deficiencies the New England Patriots had. Let's call it for what it was. Whatever issues that the Patriots had, they were able to overcome because they had Tom Brady. I have been saying this for 2 years now. They don't have Tom Brady anymore. So the issues that they have, especially in the passing game, are going to be glaring and have been glaring. I mean, you go look at the transaction that the Patriots have done so far in this offseason. Okay, you bring in Terrence Mitchell, signed as a free agent. You trade for Mac Williams. You bring in Ty Montgomery. You sign Malcolm Butler to the 2-year contract today. And then you have guys like Juwan Bentley, Trent Brown on the offensive line, and James Ferentz, who re-signed as well. None of these moves scream and jump and say, well, the Patriots are going to be one of the elite teams in the AFC next season. How does that make you feel, honestly? As a Patriots fan, going into the draft, which is in about a month's time from now, how is it that there are not enough Patriot fans, it seems, to be frustrated and concerned about why is it that Bill Belichick is not addressing the key matters that the Patriots have going into next season? Why? If you got thoughts or any ideas as to why that may be the case, you can call into the program at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. I have a couple of phone lines that are open, so feel free to chime in with your thoughts. It just baffles me when you look around the NFL, especially the AFC, in comparison to the New England Patriots. The Bills have gotten better. Heck, they went out and they signed Von Miller to that 6-year contract. The Denver Broncos, they went out and they traded for Russell Wilson. Heck, the LA Chargers, they got better. They got better on the defensive side of the ball. Heck, you talk about the Chargers with the young quarterback and then on the defensive side of the ball, they bolster up the defense by adding Khalil Mack to play alongside Joey Bosa, and that defense is going to be a problem next season. Let's keep going. And then, oh, by the way, the Cleveland Browns. They traded for Deshaun Watson and what was a controversial trade for the Cleveland Browns. But it really shouldn't be a controversial trade. More on that later. So, you look across the AFC, hell, in your own division, teams have gotten better around you. And the Patriots are either bringing back guys that they've had prior before, or they're bringing back guys in hopes that they will be able to bounce back from injury a la James White. How does that work in the NFL? It doesn't often work. And I really wonder, this is a very important year coming up for the New England Patriots, specifically for Bill Belichick. This is a very important year in which that he needs to prove to everybody, including myself, he needs to prove that, yes, last year was nice. You got back to the playoffs. Cool. But when it comes to addressing the needs of your team and as well as being able to compete against other teams that have beefed up across the AFC, How are the transactions and the moves that you've done so far this offseason, what has been a relatively quiet offseason, going to translate? How is it going to work? Is it going to work? Because right now, Bill Belichick is gambling on a lot of what-ifs. And that's not a recipe to win in the NFL. You have to call things out for what it's worth, especially when there are areas of concern that everyone is seeing. The offensive line depth, I'm worried about, because you don't want Mac Jones turning into another Joe Burrow, New England Patriots, AFC-esque situation where Mac Jones gets sacked, what, 60, 70 times a season? Because Joe Burrow got sacked 70 times last season, combined between the regular season and the postseason, which led the entire NFL. Not a recipe for success. And it was a miracle that the Cincinnati Bengals got to the Super Bowl. So, if you're the Patriots right now, it's time to really start asking the hard questions and not give me the absolute bullcrap of, well, trust Bill, and Bill we trust. Nonsense. Start asking the tough questions. Like, what are we doing? What is this, some sort of a all-boys country club that we got going on down at One Patriot Place? This is garbage. This is garbage based upon what we've seen so far for the Patriots this offseason. I wasn't expecting them to spend a whole lot of money. That's not what this is about. What this is about is, even though you may not spend a ton of money, but make moves that's going to help your quarterback that you drafted last year into helping him get to that next level. Because I said this last year, and I'm going to say it again now. Belichick has a lot riding on Mac Jones in terms of his legacy. That is the God honest truth. He cannot afford to screw this up. But I'm not thrilled with what the Patriots have done so far in the offseason in terms of their moves, in terms of the lack of activity, in terms of their inability so far to go out and be aggressive and make moves that's going to help Mac Jones in his development. Not a recipe to win games, if you ask me. Coming up next, why exactly there is a particular fan base in the NFL right now I am most particularly peeved off about in their hypocrisy. I'm going to tell you exactly who I'm talking about and what is it that I am pertaining this to. Coming up next on the other side of this break, this is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Free From Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A teenager. Learning the lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Yo, listen. Listen up, here's the story about a little guy that lives in a blue world. And all day and all night, and everything he sees is just blue, like him inside and outside. Blew his house with a blue little window and a blue Corvette, and everything is blue for him and himself and everybody around, 'cause he ain't got nobody to listen.
I'm blue, da-ba-dee-da-ba-dee-da-ba-dee.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tuss Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Coming up next after this show, Triple Play with Chris Earl is coming your way at 5 p.m. Eastern Time right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. And then coming up at 6 o'clock afterwards, Horns Aplenty that's also following Triple Play. So yeah, two really great shows coming up after this program concludes at 5 o'clock. At 5 is Triple Play. 6 p.m. you got Horns Aplenty coming up right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. And the phone lines are open. You can call into the program. I'm here with you for another, let's say, 11 minutes or so. But you can call in at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the program. If anybody truly has taken the time to get to know me, especially off social media and off the air, is that I just genuinely hate hypocrites. I just do. Hypocrites truly drive me off the wall. You see, in society, we oftentimes don't like to be called on our crap. Let's just call it for what it is. Nobody likes to get called out for the stuff that they do or the fact that they're hypocritical or they're a hypocrite when it comes to certain matters, right? So in this particular case, I think it's absolutely imperative that I do the following, which is call out an entire fan base and a certain group of people when it pertains to a particular matter that is not only controversial, but as well as sensitive. And because of the sensitive nature of this particular topic, I'm going to give it the respect that it deserves, but I'm also going to shed light on something that has really bothered me immensely since last week. You see, for those of you that follow me on Twitter at Shukri Writes, I don't particularly post about this, what I'm about to talk about, nor do I make videos about this particular topic. Not because I'm afraid of the limelight or I'm afraid of the criticism that'll come my way. No. But because radio allows me to really go in depth into what I'm about to talk about, and that is abuse, sexual abuse, or sexual assault, rather. And what has gotten me so ticked off is not the fact that the Cleveland Browns went out and acquired Deshaun Watson. That's not my issue. My issue is with the people who have created an uproar with Deshaun Watson's trade or acquisition by the Cleveland Browns. That's the problem. See, we like to feel self-righteous and to show that we are truly good human beings, when oftentimes it's just a masquerade to prove that deep down inside you're really a crappy individual. And there are people that I saw on Twitter, and this is not even just Twitter, but I'm using Twitter as an example, but there are people outside of social media who do this as well, that'll post and create this fake outrage of, oh my gosh, how dare they? I'm never going to a game again. Meanwhile, they'll still buy their merchandise, they'll still listen on radio, they'll still keep tabs. But the point is, you cannot choose when you're going to be upset about something and when you're going to just give it a pass. Case in point, by now we're all aware that Deshaun Watson has 22 allegations of sexual misconduct or assault against him, in which that he was charged not guilty. We know the story by now. So when the day that the trade was announced by the NFL and the Cleveland Browns, there was a massive uproar of people who felt triggered. Now, I'm not going to address those who are, in fact, victims of sexual assault, because it is truly not a joking matter, nor is it something that I would ever dare joke about whatsoever. Here's why I find a lot of these people to be hypocrites. The people who have sparked this outrage online, probably in the streets of Cleveland, for the fact of the matter. Number one, where was the same outrage for when the Cleveland Browns signed Kareem Hunt? I mean, honestly, where was the same outrage when the Cleveland Browns brought in Kareem Hunt, who was cut by the Kansas City Chiefs during the 2018 season after he allegedly punched and beat a woman in an elevator? Like, can you please explain to me, like, what's the difference between that and Deshaun Watson's situation? Because let me tell you something, folks. Both are wrong. One is not better than the other. So where was the same outrage in 2018 versus the same outrage that is now regarding a certain sector of the Cleveland Browns fan base? I will never go to a game again because they have no problem having any sort of like moral compass to bring in a guy who has allegations of sexual assault and sexual misconduct against him. Meanwhile, you hadn't shown the same outrage when Kareem Hunt was running the rock for you guys, did you? No. Last time I checked, the outrage wasn't the same, not even close. So the other part of it is this. Why are you so hell-bent on trying to show the world that we are not going to go to games or we're not going to support the Browns? We feel triggered because for what reason? Sincerely, tell me, what is the reason why? Is it to prove that you are more righteous than now out there for the general public? Or is it the fact that you genuinely do have a problem with this and that you have had enough of the NFL continuing to show that it has a lack of a moral compass? Which is true. We know that the NFL is not the perfect source for guidance when it comes to being morally, you know, dignified or anything like that. No, it's not. Be honest. You and I know the truth. That is that the league has given guys who have beat their girlfriends, who have beat their wives, chance after chance after chance to play in the National Football League. But yet they won't give Colin Kaepernick an opportunity to return back to the NFL after peacefully protesting police brutality. Let's call a spade a spade. But that's not what this is about. What this is about is the fact that the Cleveland Browns continue to find a way to be loud and noisy at the quarterback position. First, it was Baker Mayfield who had more progressive commercials than he had wins in Cleveland. And now you bring in a guy who is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, but does come with a lot of baggage. There's no question that he does. He comes with a lot of baggage based on what transpired off the field. So the Cleveland Browns are going out and saying, we're going to go and get this guy and hope that this guy can lead us to wins. Give us wins, make our team competitive. Congratulations, you did exactly just that. But for those that are crying about, I will never support the team again, I'm selling my season tickets, more than half of you are a bunch of true hypocrites. Again, I'm not addressing those who are impacted or are victims of sexual assault. This is not geared towards them. I'm talking about the self-righteous individuals on social media. You know who you are. Who will stand on top of that bar stool and yell out, I'm selling my season tickets and I'm giving the proceeds to this fund and that fund. Congratulations. No one gives a rat's ass like who you're donating it to. Because at the end of the day, what are you trying to prove? The Cleveland Browns are not going to be lost by your fake outrage. And I know this is going to sound really harsh, and this has sounded really harsh so far, but can we call a spade a spade? Hypocrisy has no place in society. more or less, especially when it comes to a situation as serious as sexual assault. Now, I get where people like Michelle Beadle is coming from. I get where she's coming from. But again, if she honestly believed for a moment that the NFL was going to have some sort of moral compass, or the Cleveland Browns were going to have some moral compass in regards to his business dealings in terms of who they signed, regardless of whatever background or like behavioral misconduct that they may have done in the past, I'm sorry, she has been hiding under a rock. Because there are teams in the NFL that have signed known abusers. Go see the New York Giants with Josh Brown. Go see the Dallas Cowboys in the past with what was that individual's name? That I think Gregory White or something, or the individual who was known to have notoriously beat his girlfriend badly, where they leaked images to the media. But you get my point. Stop with the hypocritical outrage. Stop choosing what to be mad about or what to be upset about. To me, it just screams of the disingenuous concern or anger that you feel towards this particular matter. And frankly, it makes me sick. It truly does. We're now about to hit 4:57 p.m. right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Just one more thought real quick before I sign off for the day. Celtics, they are playing tonight. They are back home after a perfect road trip. I am excited to see how this game will turn out for the Boston Celtics. They are playing at 7:30 p.m. tonight at the Garden. They are playing the Utah Jazz, which is going to be a pretty good game. First game back home after a four-game Western Conference swing. It's going to be a big test. I can't wait to see how this all will shake out. But as for right now, we are going to sign off. It's been a blast to be here with you for an hour today, talking with you about sports and really getting into something pretty controversial and giving you my full-blown unfiltered thoughts on it. Thank you for tuning in to the program. Sincerely appreciate it as always. 4:58 p.m. Eastern Time. Coming up next, after this show concludes, it is Triple Play with Chris Earl. It's been a blast to be here. This is Shukri Wrights signing off, saying have a good rest of your day, everybody. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app, globally on WMFO.org. Have a good rest of your day, everybody. Peace.
COVID-19, WMFO DJs are pre-recording their shows for broadcast on air. We can still accept phone calls, but the phone line is in voicemail mode. Call 855-915-9636 and be sure to leave the DJ's name in the voicemail so we can forward it to the correct person. The following program was recorded earlier. Enjoy.